The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
All right, welcome to Mind Pump. This is the show that will raise your testosterone levels, guaranteed.
Damn!
Ooh, get huge.
Yeah. If you listen to enough episodes, you'll look like Craig within 1 year.
Yeah, Craig, actually, we recorded an interviewed episode with Mr. Craig Caperso. He's in the background hanging out with us a little bit, so he'll chime in every once in a while if he feels it's okay.
Yeah. If it's appropriate, he might dive out. Yeah. I wasn't there for that one, guys.
So we wanted to do another Q&A episode. These are really popular.
Did you introduce us?
I didn't do that again. Okay, God, so, well, everybody knows Craig Caperso's here.
Who's talking?
Adam Schaefer is the dickhead that keeps talking. Justin Andrews and myself, Sal DiStefano.
Boom.
All right, I get. So these... What do you want me to say about it?
I want a special...
You don't want to be a dickhead. No, I think just Justin would be...
You got dickhead.
No. You got the silent voice of Moses.
Yeah, I'm silent Moses.
Can I just say that was the best so far? Okay, for those of you guys that are listening... those of you guys that are listening, and I just want you guys to know that we read every single review that gets put up there, and I love to see people...
Excellent one.
Oh, I love to see people that are creative and funny that take stuff and spin on words and leave cool reviews. And can you read that, Justin? Do you have it by chance up?
Or,
I mean, maybe...
I don't have it.
You'll find... I want to read one of them.
Matter of fact, we should let them know about the contest because we've already promoted it on Instagram.
Oh, yeah.
So here's the contest, listeners. Go on iTunes. By the way, this is kind of hard to find, so you got to go on iTunes, go in the search function, type in Mind Pump. The icon will pop up. Click on the icon, go to reviews, leave us a review. Now, if you have to leave us a 5-star review to qualify.
Okay, I got it.
Yeah, you got to leave a 5-star review.
You like that? You got to like us in order for this to work.
Yeah, right. Basically,
we're the worst, thing you've ever listened to.
Right.
As long as you give us 5 stars.
Yeah, 5-star. Make it funny. We're gonna judge the best ones. The top 5 will get free access to my programs, Maps Anabolic, and to their nutrition survival guide, the Team Level Up survival guide, nutrition guide, all together. I said like 5 times. All together. And I think we'll probably throw in some t-shirts.
For sure.
We'll make it worth your while.
Fitness bandanas in there. I'll give my company a plug.
Look at that. Well, there you go. You just got the hookups.
I think Craig's like me. I think he's the only person that wears bandanas, and I'm the only person that wears cutoff sweats. But in our own world, we want to believe that everybody thinks it's cool too, though.
I think it makes it awesome.
Yeah. I was thinking about the other day when I was watching his videos, and I'm like, you know what? This motherfucker's the only guy with a bandana on inside this entire gym. And I'm like,
it's such a good idea to me. And then after it's done and I spent the money on him, I go, wait a minute, I got like 10,000 bandanas for myself at this point.
You'll never have to do laundry again.
No, definitely not.
Read it, Justin.
Yeah, no, I wanted to give some credit where credit's due. So this is like one of our favorite ones so far. So this is by Reeker9, I guess. And you can claim who you are later, and we'll definitely give you props. But this says, insightful, interesting, smart, upbeat, and funny. The only podcast where you can get a no-nonsense educated outlook on fitness and health from Kermit the Frog.
That's me.
A teen heartthrob pothead.
Woohoo!
And the softly spoken Moses.
Yes.
I feel like
a message from God.
I feel like he made fun of me and Adam, and then you got Moses.
I don't know. What does that mean?
I'm
leading you to the promised land.
You're like parting the sea. I don't know what the fuck.
No matter what, it was definitely very creative, very clever.
So basically, go on, leave a 5-star review. If we think it's great, funny, creative, whatever.
Are we going to do just one? What do we decide? Are we doing one?
We said five.
Yeah, five. Okay. Five it is.
I think this first person, because
watch out, he's in the front runner.
Well, I think he should get it right away. If we at least
because he was the first one.
First one and that good, right. I think right out the gate.
So all right, what's his name again? Reeker?
Reeker9? I don't know.
All right, you're getting one.
He'll claim it, yeah.
Yeah. Go on our DM Instagram us. Page or in DMS.
Hold on. Let me just say, you guys actually physically, if you're listening, you need to claim this. I don't know how many times I've had prizes and, you know, giveaways where people just don't claim it. And okay. I know my sponsors as well do a lot, and people just don't come back.
Yeah. Well, we're also throwing in some nude pictures of Adam. Yep. So that's you right. know they're going to claim that shit. Although you could probably find it pretty easily if you go to
13 bandanas. And so 13 bandanas, 2 t-shirts, 2 programs, and a naked photo.
For half the month. There you
go. From the bottom down. All right. So what were we talking about? Q&A. We go so off target.
I know shit. I'm
so the Q&A episodes are super popular. People love them. So we want to go through. You guys ask us a lot of questions on social media. We thought we'd pick some and answer them. And so we're going to do that again today. So here's one of the first questions. Now, this individual was asking about cholesterol. Dietary cholesterol. So for those of you listeners who are watching the news, this is all over the place right now, right? They're saying all of a sudden the government's going to come out and say, oh, wait a minute. It's okay to eat cholesterol. It doesn't really impact you negatively. Have you guys seen this?
No.
All over the place?
That's crazy.
No, this is a huge reversal, because for the longest time, cholesterol intake was a major, what they said was a major influence to bad health and, you know, heart disease. And now they're ready to completely reverse it.
What?
Yeah. So this is good news for
crazy,
like,
well, because listen, the American Heart and Health, you know, Association, is that the name of it? The American Heart Association. So. Yeah. So they've always, you know, their whole thing is about like cholesterol being related to heart disease.
Right. Well, so they reversed it because conclusively, studies are shown now that dietary cholesterol really doesn't impact your cholesterol numbers.
Well, explain dietary cholesterol to someone for us.
Well, cholesterol that's in food. So like egg yolks, you know, they always say don't eat too many eggs. Back in the day, they
versus
say,
what?
Egg whites.
No. I mean,
no, it's dietary cholesterol versus cholesterol.
Yeah.
Oh, well, dietary cholesterol, which is in food, something affecting your body's cholesterol numbers when you get tested. You go get a blood test.
Yes. Right.
And they'll test your cholesterol numbers. It doesn't really impact those numbers, your dietary cholesterol. Most of it is from genetics and other factors in lifestyle.
Well, one affects LDL, one affects HDL. Is that correct? Is that
right? And it's supposedly HDL is the good one. They say that's the good one for you. LDL is the bad one. However, LDL has got some infection fighting capabilities. So I think that they're too black and white with this particular situation. And here's the real truth about cholesterol. Cholesterol is a steroid molecule. It is the building block for all of your hormones. It is also critically important for cell membrane integrity. So if you don't have enough cholesterol in your diet, your cell membranes get weak and can kind of swish around like loose water balloons. And this is not good. You don't want this. You want really strong cells with good cell membranes. And that comes from a diet with cholesterol in it. So when this news came out, I wasn't shocked because I've been in the wellness side of fitness industry now for a long time. And we've known this for the last 10 years. This is something I've been preaching for a long time. Like, go ahead and eat cholesterol. It's not going to hurt you. And it's probably good for you. Well, when this news came out, I did some more research. So trip off this, guys. Now, I knew that cholesterol intake was tied to testosterone levels. So I know that if you don't eat enough cholesterol, your testosterone will probably be low. But I did not know that it actually improves athletic performance. Did you guys know that? So athletes that eat a sufficient amount of cholesterol from things like egg yolks and organ meats like chicken liver and stuff like that perform better. And there's many studies done on this.
How do you measure sufficient?
How much cholesterol? Would you mind looking up how much cholesterol is in one egg, or maybe I will?
Yeah. I don't know.
Cholesterol in one
study would have to be skewed, in my opinion, is be all or none.
Well, one egg, I believe, has over 50% of the recommended cholesterol. So it's 100.
One egg has over 50%.
Over 50%, right? So it's like 187 milligrams. So I think 300 is it.
My breast is like 500 over.
I think it's like 300 to 500 is what they say is like the max that you want to have on a day. And these athletes were consuming closer to 1,500 to 2,000 milligrams or more, and they had increased performance. Not only that, but in population studies, older people, people who are in advanced age or past the age of, let's say, 65, who eat more cholesterol, live longer. Because it's incredibly important for the brain as well. So there's really nothing wrong with dietary cholesterol. What affects your cholesterol levels, what they're finding in terms of diet, has more to do with things like sugars. Trans fats will change your cholesterol profile. and certain processed foods. And again, this goes right back to those if it fits your macros people, because for them, it's a calorie is a calorie for the most part. But in reality, it's not. Cholesterol has no calories in it. In trans fats, for example, have as many calories.
Well, the main point that a lot of these health organizations were trying to bring up with cholesterol is that it clogs your arteries.
Right.
Right. And so, and I've read the same study that you read.
Yeah.
And so, you know, and then they talk about like calcium and lime deposits.
Right. So
being a factor.
Well, so when they look in your arteries, they see what are called fatty streaks. So these are streaks of lipids or fats that they see in the arteries. And they attribute that, they thought that that was the cause of heart disease and things like blockages in the arteries and heart attacks. Well, we now know that those streaks in the arteries are found in very healthy people. They're found in children. You know, when children die accidentally, they do autopsy, they see these streaks. Some of the healthiest people you'll find will have these streaks. And so what they're finding is that that's not what's causing the problem. These streaks were actually put there to strengthen the arteries. So, for example, arteries move in different directions, in different angles. And if it's bent at a certain angle, there's going to be more pressure from the blood pumping through at a particular point. So the body will naturally strengthen that part of the artery by putting these streaks on there, these fatty streaks, which are made up largely of cholesterol. What actually blocks your arteries is not that. It's actually these mineral deposits. And a lot of that's from inflammation in the heart. And so that's really what's going on. And so the reason why I think we focus so heavily on cholesterol in this country in terms of lowering your number or whatever is because it's an easy number to control with medication.
Mm-hmm.
So they know they can lower your cholesterol.
If I'm an average listener and I'm listening to you right now and I'm trying to figure out, okay, I'm trying to wrap my brain about what you're telling me right now that, okay, we were being preached to for the last decade plus about mm-hmm. cholesterol, bad, 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 bad. And maybe you're somebody who's had a trainer and you're a little bit a wiser or have more experience or maybe well-read yourself and you at least know that, okay, well, I'm beyond that whole eggs are bad for you. I know right. that there are, right. there's a difference between good and bad cholesterol mm-hmm. when you talk about mm-hmm. HDL and LDL. But what should I take away from this as far as approaching my diet? Should I not even worry about it? And just whatever amount of cholesterol is in my food and just not be trying to add an additional to it? Or should I be cautious about, you know, only having about 3 or 4 eggs a day and that's it?
Great question.
Or what types? Yeah.
Yeah. Great question. Okay. So if your calories are good and your proteins, fats, and carbohydrates are good and you're eating healthy whole foods, do not worry about cholesterol. So if you're going to eat, you know, liver, you're going to eat some, you know, organ meat, and it's got your proteins, your fats, carbohydrates, you know, it's good for you. Don't worry about your cholesterol. Go and eat it. Unless you're a special case, and they're very rare.
Or we have cholesterol issues already, right?
Well, even if you have cholesterol issues, dietary cholesterol doesn't make that big of an impact. People with high cholesterol, they'll remove cholesterol from their diet, but they won't lower their calories. They won't get in shape. And their cholesterol numbers basically don't change.
I feel like this is such a great topic right now because a majority of people have heard their doctor tell them, like, right. you need to lower your cholesterol and stay away from these foods. Stay away from them. And he starts listing off all these foods.
Your cholesterol.
So they can prescribe you, yeah.
Right, right. So your cholesterol will lower if you get leaner, if you eat healthier, if you exercise, if you have less stress. So that's what is the, that was the result. That's why people's cholesterol went down when they took their doctor's advice. It wasn't because they stopped eating cholesterol. Do you see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So dietary cholesterol has a very small impact in your cholesterol numbers. That being said, the reason why, again, doctors focus so heavily on cholesterol is because it's an easy thing to control. It's a pill. You take a statin, cholesterol numbers are down. Boom. Now you have low cholesterol. We think you're healthy. There's a debate around that as well. I won't go into that because it'll cause a shitstorm. I guarantee right. it. But I'm not a doctor.
Oh, you know, we love to do that.
Yeah. But I'm not a doctor. I'm not going to tell people.
Preface that.
I'm not going to tell people.
Based off of findings and readings.
Yeah, listen to your doctor. I'm not a doctor, so I'm not telling people what to do, what not to do. I'm actually quoting right now what's coming out from doctors about cholesterol intake and the newest studies. But in terms of taking statins and stuff like that, all I will say is this: if you do take a statin because your doctor recommended you do. Look into supplementing with coenzyme Q10, otherwise known as CoQ10. Ask your doctor about it. They probably are already aware that you should be taking this if you take a statin. Statins reduce the amount of cholesterol that your liver produces, but one of the side effects is it also dramatically reduces the amount of CoQ10 in your body, and CoQ10 is essential for heart function. So if your CoQ10 drops, you could have the best cholesterol in the world, and you're at a higher risk for heart failure. So if you take a statin, it's a good idea to take CoQ10. But again, check with your doctor. I'm pretty sure they'll agree with me because it's a little more mainstream now
Boom.
In the medical community. So
boom.
All right. You like that?
You did. Drop some knowledge. I like when you drop knowledge every
now and then. You call me a nerd. Hold on. You call me a nerd, bro. But you like it.
I know.
Well, you like it.
It's great. It's great to listen to.
Well, there's a piece of me that I'm a little envious, bro. You are. I wish I spent less time hanging out doing cool things and studying more. I feel like
cool things. You're being a fucking awesome cool guy.
What? It was good to listen. I got to say, because you guys did it twice to me, you know, since I've been on the show today and the previous episode. So I'm hearing you guys quote something and I'm like, man, I think I just heard that. But I'm hearing it from you guys. You guys are like my news at this point. So you mentioned the study about something that's hitting the news right now. And I'm like, man, I just heard about that too. But I heard about it from you. So you just quoted it. So it's like my news is mind pump right now.
I love
now.
It. You know, and it's funny because we're on a group text, especially with Adam and Justin. We're on one. And you guys are just starting. I was telling Adam this on the way here. You are just scratching the surface at how literally crazy I am. You have no idea. I mean, I'm texting these guys at 4 a.m., 6 a.m., 11 o'clock at night, midnight, with articles and ideas.
We'll attest to
I'm
that.
I'm out of this. Right? I'm out of this group.
I know. Yeah, good. See, the, like, seriously,
so
bro.
You guys have no idea.
I was in that group in the beginning.
It has not stopped, it was, Craig.
A little insane, right?
No.
They didn't like me because I was too forward, I think. And I'd be like, cut the, you guys.
Like, listen, I'm working, assholes. Yeah. What are you guys doing?
And then, of course, what we did, kick it up a notch, right? Yeah.
All right, so we got another question coming up, Justin. I think someone was asking about feeding.
Yeah, no, the kids. Actually, this guy Josiah Fitness, and he's been a follower for a bit.
Shout out to Josiah Fitness.
He's awesome. Actually,
he's actually a badass trainer. He's got some great. Have you seen his Instagram page?
I have. Yeah, I've
gone. Yeah, he's a cool guy.
Got some great advice and materials.
So you can find him on Instagram at Josiah Fitness. What is it?
I think it's at Josiah Fitness.
There's not an underscore. There's an underscore.
There isn't.
No. Just Josiah Fitness. Anyway, he just basically brought up, because we in another episode we kind of talk about, and I know I did, and somewhat Sal like too, about, you know, the struggles we have feeding our kids and trying to go the healthy route with it, and just what we combat with that every day. I think it's a very challenging issue to tackle, and it's something that I know any other parents that are listening to this will be able to, you know, chime in with us as far as like the struggles are concerned. But he basically was just kind of like wondering if we could bring up like a healthy way that we can approach that, as far as like,
yeah, what about meals? Can you recommend meals or something like that? Or is that, I don't know if you want to get into that. Like, I actually listened to your episode and I quite frankly would have to do more research, but since you guys do have the experience, you know what I mean? Uh-huh. Like, if I was to recommend you know, a children's diet menu, etc., because you're saying if they're not having the cereal and the milk and these other things, what are you giving them in place?
Well,
you gotta get creative.
Yeah, you do.
First thing I gotta say,
because we're the only two parents in here. Adam, I'm sure you are, you just don't know where.
Yeah, some other kids. Country.
Several kids.
If you're listening.
Yeah,
we'll help you out. We'll tell Adam how to do it.
You know,
yeah. I'm lost on this one, guys.
So
we're going to listen to this one.
So with kids, nutrients are extremely important in food. Fats are very important for childhood development.
Right.
All fats, saturated fats, are important.
We talked about a little bit about cholesterol, little rant that you did, but I mean, and breast milk obviously is another whole topic by itself, right. Like whether or not, you know, that's obviously your choice, and you know, do your research with that. Mm-hmm. I would highly suggest, and my wife's a nurse, and you know, we both kind of did a lot of research with that, because it's not an easy thing. Mm-hmm. Like you find out, like, oh well, I'm just going to try and you know, feed my kid and do it in a healthy way, but it's really, really hard and challenging.
A lot of misinformation.
You find a lot of challenges that go along with that as well. So, you know, it's just about like trying to organize your priorities, like when you're getting started, and really like. Do you have any books like that you would recommend as far as like impressionable books?
New
parents are concerned?
You know, no, but I will say this. There's two things here. Number one, studies are showing now, there's actually, I think, two or three studies that have shown this now, that the food that the mother eats while pregnant will actually influence the preference of food for the child when they're born.
Wow.
So if you eat a lot of vegetables, they're more like, while you're pregnant, they're more likely to like vegetables when they're born.
Say something about, since I do have a little two cents on this one, just because of what you were saying, I think one of the biggest misunderstandings with being pregnant that I get, and I'm sure you guys can attest to this too, is when you're pregnant, and I want to, don't quote me on this, I believe it's somewhere between 130 and 180 is the additional calories that your body is required to have to carry a child.
Yeah.
No, where you, I know where you're
eating,
going.
Eating for two is a crock of shit. Yeah. Okay. So
allowing your body to, you know.
Yes, you do. There is no, there is, it is not necessary for you to go from, you know, eating normal like you were before to all of a sudden now you're doing four double doubles and you're getting crazy and piling ice cream and stuff like that because you're eating for two. You're not eating for two.
I think there's a couple things. One, you have these fluctuations in how you feel, and so food make them feel better.
Yeah.
And then two is just like, oh shit, I can do whatever I want.
Yeah.
And I'm an ego crazy with food. That food that you eat. Too. Yeah. That food that you eat does go into the development of your child, and they're finding now that the food that you eat will influence their preference for foods as a born. So if you have a child, so if you want your kid to like certain things, you should probably eat them while you're pregnant. It also changes how genes are expressed. So, you know, eating certain things, they won't change the genes, but it might activate certain ones in certain ways to make them more prone to, let's say, stress, or more prone to anxiety, or more prone to hyperactivity and that kind of stuff. Number two, when your child is born, okay, now you have a kid, right? Let me tell you something about having kids. You can tell them all you want. You could preach till the cows come home. You could go, you could write, you can read books. The bottom line is children are going to watch you, and that's how they're going to learn.
Right. It's a modeling thing.
Yeah. So if you eat shitty, your kids are going to eat shitty. I actually had a client once do this. She came in to work out, and she brought her son with her, and she needed to lose weight, and we were focusing on that. And her son came in, and he was 9 or 10, so he's pretty young, but not young enough. I mean, we could talk, right? He's a 10-year-old, and he was eating McDonald's chicken nuggets, and so he's eating them, and she looks at me, and she goes, "Sal, why? Just tell him about these nuggets and why he can't eat them." And I looked at her, I'm like, "Didn't you? You're the one that bought him the nuggets. Like, right. This, the kid is not going to starve to death. I guarantee you. If you have a kid that wants to eat shitty food, because this is, I hear this excuse all the time." My son won't eat anything but macaroni and cheese. Trust me, don't feed your kid,
yeah.
And they'll fucking eat whatever you put in front of them. They're not going to starve, I guarantee you.
Exactly, and that kind of echoes a whole other point where we're talking about disciplines and setting up boundaries, and you have to look at, you have to have a game plan, mm-hmm. And I think that's the best advice I can get. You can't just wing it. If you're going in and just winging it, you know, you're going to run into all kinds of issues that you didn't expect. And every kid is different. Every kid has their preferences. And, you know, you might get lucky and they might just love fruit and vegetables. And that's mm-hmm. like amazing. It's totally easy for you. And then it changes, you know, mm-hmm. within the blink of an eye. And so anyway, I did have a book, though, that I'd like to recommend that my wife and I have actually had somewhat of success with. And this is just like little sneaky ways to incorporate vegetables and fruits and things in with somebody that has, with a kid that has like a very high carb focus, let's just say, mm-hmm. because this is something that hits home for me. So anyway, it's actually Jerry Seinfeld's wife. She came up with this book.
Oh, I remember this. I've seen this book.
Yeah. Deceptively Delicious, Simple Secrets to Get Your Kids Eating Good Food.
So in this book, she basically shows you how to like sneak vegetables into certain things that taste good and make them in certain
right.
ways. Okay.
It's just cool. Cause it's just, I mean, and it works because kids will eat it mm-hmm. and they don't realize that, you know, those nutrients are in there, and it's almost like this little high five win that you give your wife over in the corner. Like, yeah, boom.
We've just lost the 20s. Everyone in the 20s from the 20 demographic is gone. Yes.
Well, here, but before we move on, before we get,
let's talk back, about strippers.
Yeah, we'll talk about strippers. No, but just
no. It's actually really nice for me to listen to this, and I know I have a decently large following that are fitness professionals, and I, you know, it's always a hard thing for me to talk about because I don't have a kid, you know, and I can't. But I feel very passionate about this subject because although I do not have a kid, I have these great plans on how I want to raise. Mm-hmm. Him or her, and one of the things that I'm very adamant about is my eating habits around them. I want to be the most dialed in nutritionally I've ever been when I have children mm-hmm. than I am now. So just so, like you said earlier, is that they pick up on my patterns and learn mm-hmm. from dad, you know, like how he eats.
Well, just to cap off on this, two things. One is, yes, it's about your behaviors, but also be very careful. We're in the industry of fitness, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm very careful to say the words, I'm getting fat. Oh, look, honey, I'm not as lean.
Yeah.
I need to diet down because we're going to be at the beach. because kids will also pick up on that and they will get an unhealthy body image, especially if you have a young girl. Mm-hmm. So the way I present healthy foods to my kid is all performance based. It's zero about how you look. I never say to my kids, oh, if you eat that, you'll get fat. None of that shit. It's about, listen, if you eat this, you're going to feel smarter in school. Or if you eat this, you're going to feel faster. Or, oh, you don't feel good? You don't feel good
right
now?
Too much of this will make you feel sick.
That's it. It's all performance-based so that they tie it to how they feel and not how they look. Mm-hmm. And I think I've heard parents do this, like, honey, you're getting a little belly. Like, you're setting your kid up for some fucked up
shit. Yeah, no, that's not good.
I haven't even thought about that, but that's something that you should probably...
And about yourself. Like,
some
of
these folks should actually probably play that episode and just repeat that over and over and over, just because look at Instagram and look at what social media has done to us anyway. It's just body images everywhere.
Yeah.
People are having this, you know, complex
because
they're trying to chase. How many times have you guys at this point, you know, on Instagram as you're growing, got people that are like, oh, I want to look like you. I want to look, you know, this, that, and the other. That's what I want to achieve. But, you know, that's great for a goal, but you should really be setting your own expectations of what's really going to make you happy. Because if you get here, it may be very short lived. So don't always look for the aesthetic solution to what you're trying to go after. Something like that.
Well, okay. So lastly, before we move, because we have another question, but lastly, I want to talk about in terms of nutrition for kids, your macronutrients, your proteins, fats, and carbohydrates. Only two of those are essential for development and for being alive, and that is fats and proteins. Carbohydrates are not essential. That doesn't mean they should go on a low carb diet, but just to give you an idea of priorities.
Right.
Fats are probably the most important thing. Healthy fats, a variety of fats, are probably one of the most important things your kids can get. And that, again, it doesn't mean you're giving them an all fat diet, but don't go out searching low fat foods to give your kid. Number two, vegetables, very important. Include them on a daily basis for the nutrients. And the last one, this is something people don't think about. You want to give them foods that's going to give them a healthy gut flora. They are now tying issues with the gut in children to things like autism, food allergies, food intolerances, and autoimmune disorders. So what's going to give them a healthy gut flora? Fermented foods. Real, unflavored.
Probiotics.
Probiotic type foods like yogurts, kefirs. Sauerkraut, you know, things that are fermented, which are going to promote the growth of beneficial
bacteria. Yes.
And that's very good for kids. That's very, very healthy for kids. So, all right. So we had a third
good one.
We had a third question.
Oh yeah. I guess I should read this.
Real quick example, maybe why Justin's looking that up is, your kid's wanting a snack. And instead of giving him one of those bullshit fruit snacks that are
the gummy ones,
gummy fruit snacks that are, you know, they claim like are fruit, they call fruit snacks, because they're flavored like strawberry and banana or whatever like that.
Yeah.
That's a bunch of sugar, basically candy you're giving them. You know, your better route would be
boxes and all that.
Yeah. All shit. That shit, you know, is grapes and some almonds, you know, give them some good fat, maybe something that's got good fiber.
I'm glad you said juice boxes. Don't give your kids juice.
No,
that is just pure sugar.
Juice is like. Just look at juices like ice cream.
Yeah, juice literally it's pure sugar. So all right.
Anyway, so this one was an interesting question. I got it basically was describing let me just go ahead and read it. I have been lifting off and on since August, and for the past month I've put all my energy into consistency, gaining strength, gaining weight. One of the biggest roadblocks I face is eating enough food.
So they have a tough time eating.
So they have a tough time.
Male or female?
This is actually a female.
I thought you said the calories on there.
Yeah, so she started going into the calories. Like, she's acclimated to 1,200, and then she wants to ramp it up to 2,000, but she wants to basically find a way to do that without making herself sick.
Oh, okay, so she has no appetite.
Yeah, she's training really hard, but at this point, she's just, like he said, she's just physically feel like she can't eat the amount of food that she's required. A simple trick I would just say is just throw more fats in there. Obviously,
calories,
very calorie dense, and obviously really good. A lot of people don't take them in. So a good trick that when people are trying to not really consume a lot of food is have fats, because a handful of almonds is going to, you know, give you a good amount of calories and get you closer to your goals.
If that doesn't work for you, because that didn't work for me, I struggled with this for a long time. And the problem that I had was created when I was a kid. I was a breakfast skipper. I didn't eat any food till noon or one. I had a big old, you know, Togo's type of sandwich or whatever. And then that held me over till dinner time. And then dinner time, I gorged on whatever I wanted, whether it be fast food or whatever, and then ice cream at the end of the night. Now, Two things that I found later on, and this was even after I'd been a trainer for a while, because I struggled even in my early 20s to put size and weight on, and all because, not because of anything to do with my training, my program design, I had that all dialed in. It was my nutrition. I could not eat enough. I couldn't get enough food in me. And I resorted first to, you know, the making the smoothies with the ice cream in it and piling the peanut butter. And I used to carry like peanuts and almonds with me everywhere I went and just be trying to chow them down. But something that I found out when I did really high fat diets like that is the fat satiated me. And so I might have gorged on 1,500 calories of nuts.
But then you couldn't eat again.
But then I didn't want to eat for another 5-6 hours. So I still found myself in the same predicament. So what worked really well for me, and keep this in mind, you're not going to go from 1,200 to, I think she said 1,800?
2,000.
Yeah, that's not happening. You're talking about you're almost doubling your caloric intake overnight. And it's not going to happen because one of two things. You haven't built up that need for that yet. And there's no reason for you to go that. You don't have to.
It shouldn't happen. Let me help him rephrase. It shouldn't happen overnight.
Yeah.
You could do it. You're just going to feel sick and again.
Yeah. But you shouldn't. And you're going to put on a lot of bad weight because you haven't built up to that yet. And so you just slowly increase and you create good habits. So in my case, I was a breakfast skipper. So I had to teach myself to want to eat earlier on. And I had to start with a very small portion. And a lot of that was just, and I think I talked about this in another episode, I started off with some yogurt first thing in the morning. It was just real easy for me to suck down even though I wasn't hungry. But I started to teach my body to create an appetite earlier on. And then I just slowly started adding more and more food to it, but slowly. But you have to be consistent with that, because if you do it for a couple days and then you fall off for a day or two, like, you're not really building that. But you got to consistently just a little bit at a time and add. And then I also had to reduce my movement. You know, I was so addicted to working out, being a fitness person. I loved lifting weights. I loved playing basketball. And when you're trying to gain and you're trying to put mass on, that works against you. And so it's kind of this struggle that I dealt with for a long time, because I said earlier that how I like to play basketball, and I played basketball for a very long time. I had to cut back on it. You know, I had to go from playing basketball every other day or every day for an hour, 2 hours a day all the time, and lifting weights 6-7 days a week, to training more like 4-5 days of weights and basketball as little as possible, mm-hmm. to sometimes one time a week or not at all. And I shot up like 15 pounds.
Yeah, so you had to minimize your movement.
Well, I think we need to look at too, because sometimes with women, there's a interesting relationship with food.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering if she had some issues beforehand with food, and that why this is tough.
Well, I wonder, I just honestly wonder why that's the goal, is the 2,000 mark.
It's probably closer to her metabolic rate, her, you know, BMR plus activity.
Right.
Well, what I was going to say too is if it truly is a poor appetite, if it has nothing to do with a psychological issue with food, because 1,200 calories is not a lot. Most women would diet hard at that, right?
Yeah.
And she says she's working out. So I would say if it's truly an appetite issue, number one, get your health checked, because a poor appetite can sometimes point to certain health issues. But number two, if it's not a health issue, which it might not be, it probably isn't a health issue. Number two, your workouts are not making you hungry because your body's not anabolic. It's not trying to build. Mm-hmm. So look at your workouts. You're probably working out too much and too hard. And so you're putting your body in a high level of stress, which is going to, it's not trying to build tissue. It's trying to get rid of it and slow you down. So I would say lift weights twice a week, full body workout, big compound movements, you know, one big movement per body part. If you want to do cardio for your health, great. Do, you know, 2 or 3 days a week of 20, 30 minutes of cardio. If you don't want to do cardio, then that's fine too. Don't do cardio.
You're better off not doing it. For gaining weight wise.
Right. And then watch your appetite start to go up.
Something that wasn't really discussed at all was carbs and the manipulation effects that you could do there. Adam and I take in more calories than you, or not on less calories per meal than you, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
So you're able to go throughout most of the day having, 2 to 3 meals, correct?
It's between 1 to 2.
Okay, 1 to 2. Yeah. So, and he doesn't feel hungry. Part of the problem with me and Adam, and why we're always hungry and revving and roaring, is because we have carbs in just about every single meal for the most part. And so therefore you're getting somewhat of an insulin spike and then a drop after, where your blood sugar is probably dropping.
Mm-hmm.
And so that actually does cause you to be hungry once again. And so that's something that you could use if you're trying to gain weight, mm-hmm. and use small meals often. Just drop the meals, use a little bit more. So that's when people say, I heard Adam say, stoke the fire, actually use the same thing. back in the day when it's, you know, eating these small meals, it's yes and no. But at the same point, you do feel probably hungrier the more often that you eat, especially if they're smaller meals and they could go right through and your body's actually breaking them down.
Yep. I totally want to piggyback on that because that was another very big piece that helped me out was, and I was blown away when I actually, when I started eating cleaner and more balanced like that throughout the day, I noticed that all of a sudden I could eat. Now I could. That's why. And when I went back earlier and I told you about the whole fats thing, when I went overboard on the fats, it satiated me. But when I was eating, you know, rice and chicken and broccoli in meals, I could eat a rice and chicken broccoli meal every 2 hours, no problem, because my body felt like it just ate it right up and was ready to eat again. I go eat a Big Mac at McDonald's, and it's double, triple the calories, but 2, 3, 4 hours later, I'm still burping it.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, I'm not ready to go eat another meal. So
I just threw up in my mouth a little bit.
I totally want to make out with you now.
I think it's a very, very good point. That was something that helped me out a lot was a lot of times when you're on the gain, you get the misconception of, hey, okay, because you need to gain, you eat everything in sight, but there's foods that, you know, you that will satiate you longer and you will not want to eat again. And separating it out like that helped me a lot.
How are we doing on time, Doug? 40 minutes. All right. Well, I wanted to thank special guest Craig Caperso.
Yeah.
Having him back on for a few episodes.
It was fun, guys. I missed you. I've been yelling at my radio for a long time now, so I'm glad to get in here and mess it up with you.
Yeah. I'm sure it won't be the last time either.
He's all been punching it.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. For more information about this show and to get valuable free resources from Sal, Adam, and Justin, visit us at www.mindpumpradio.com. Until next time, this is Mind Pump.